Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody perfect in here? If we're all perfect, there'd be no testimonies, you know. One of the tricks that the enemy plays when it comes to prayer is to make you feel unworthy of praying. You were not a good enough boy or girl this week to pray. God's not going to answer your prayer because you messed up this week. And so you don't pray. Not praying doesn't help a thing. Even if you prayed and he didn't hurt, you're better off. But the enemy just doesn't want us to pray. And he'll bring up every little thing that you've done wrong or whatever. But I got news for you and the devil. The blood of Jesus makes me worthy to pray. If I made a mistake and I've repented of that mistake and I come before the Lord, he'll hear my prayer. So pray anyways. If you've messed up, pray anyways. If you messed up hugely, pray anyway. I mean, Jonah is one of the biggest blunders ever. God calls him to go to Nineveh, and he heads to Tarshish. And you know the story. He's on the ship, and it was worse than the SS Minnow storm. And if you're not old enough, you just won't understand, all right? He was going on a three-hour tour, and the little ship was tossed, and they did not have the ability to bring it under control. Jonah was living in rebellion against what God had called him to do, and he knew it. And I ought to preach a sermon time. The guy in the bottom of the ship sleeping. One was Jonah, one was Jesus. But anyway, he's sleeping. The sailors are trying to pull this thing together. They're ready to capsize. And they go, what's going on? Jonah says, it's me. I'm being disobedient to my God, and he has sent this storm. And I don't want you guys to die. Throw me overboard. It'll be okay. Wow. Wow. Jonah knew who he was. He knew he was being disobedient. And he said, boys, I don't want you to die. Just throw me in. I really feel like Jonah felt once he was thrown into the storm that he would drown there. And he was thrown in. Out of his rebellion. Out of his disobedience. Yet from the bottom of the sea, he cries out to the Lord. It said the seaweed wrapped around his head. And down he went. And for sure, he would be gone and be gone forever. Oh, I almost feel like preaching here. You can't get ahead of God. Listen to me. Years before, God created this big fish. Because he knew Jonah would mess up. He knew he would be in disobedience. And Jonah's ready to breathe and he's ready to drown. And suddenly, this fish that was prepared before time swoops down, gulps him, brings him to the surface so he can get a breath of air. Now Jonah's ready to have a prayer meeting. Praise and prayer meeting. Hallelujah. He calls out to God, oh God, I've been foolish, stupid, and ridiculous. If you give me another chance, I'll do it. Brothers and sisters, God has already prepared a way back. Before you backslid, he prepared a way back. Before you messed up, he prepared a way back. He made a way. The world had given up. The sailors threw him to the sea. They hated to do it, but they threw him to the sea and all was calm. You know that. But out of that whale's belly, he cried, oh God, hallelujah. And after some time, he ends up back on the shore. Hallelujah. Marched his slimy self back to Nineveh. Have you ever looked at the geography of Tarshish and Nineveh. You can't get to Tarshish from Israel except you take a boat. And you can't get a boat to Nineveh. Nineveh's in the other direction, total dry land. Hallelujah. Almost feel like preaching Jonah tonight. When he cried out, rebellious, disobedient Jonah cried out, God heard him. Did you hear me? He heard him. Glory to God. Set him on his feet. He went into Nineveh, a terrible, nasty old city like Detroit. We got some Michigan people in here, all right? So, and God said, I'm going to wipe them out. They got 40 days, I'm going to wipe them out. They're filled with gambling halls. They're filled with brothels. They're filled with hatred and violence. And it is just a terrible city. They hate me. They don't have any respect for me. I want you to go in there and tell them in 40 days I'm going to wipe you out. Jonah could still smell the insides of the whale. And he says, all right, I'll do it. It says the city was so big it'd take you 3 days to cross it, walking, like Phoenix. And so he walks halfway into the center of the city, hustling and bustling around. I don't know if he little kind of still smelled a little bit. But there he is. And he begins to tell him, I've preached this before. He preaches a one-sentence sermon. God's judging you in 40 days. He's going to judge you and all your sins are going to come back on you. And something happened in Nineveh that I pray to God will happen again in history. They listened to the preacher. They actually listened to him and responded. And they all began to do what? Fast and pray. For 3 days, nobody, they didn't feed their cattle, their chickens, nothing. Nothing ate for 3 days. They didn't drink. Even the king put on sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sin. Idolatrous Gentiles repented of their sin. Ninevites hated Israelites. They hated them. They were at war with them most of the time. But God heard the cry of a rebel out of that whale's belly and said, I'm going to show mercy and grace through your mouth. I'm going to show mercy and grace to these people. Jonah wasn't thrilled with it, but nonetheless, we ought to be happy for revival however it comes, to whoever it comes to. Hallelujah. I've often thought if revival ever really hit some of these modern churches that are forsaking God, I don't know how I'll feel about it, but I think I'll be happy if it's real. We have the privilege of prayer. If you step back one step and say, little old me gets to talk to the one that hung the stars in space. I'm supposed to just go to prayer tonight, but I'm struggling here. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're a product of rape. God had a plan for you when you're in your mother's womb. God's care and love for you, I don't care where, how you got started. It doesn't matter. You got started. And from that moment on, God has a way. He wants you to come to Him. It doesn't matter how you were produced. It doesn't matter what your family history is. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loves you deeply and richly. There's not a person, even those people in New York City that are screaming about Allah. I tell you what, God still wants them to come to Him, forsake their false religion and their demon of a God, and come to Him. I don't know how He's going to do it, but somebody ought to ask Him. Everybody to God has an importance. We are specially. It's not just a few of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. We all are. I said we all are. And if you come to Jesus, you have a high privilege. You have a gate a key to the gate where you can go in, hallelujah, to the throne room and present your petition. You are worthy to pray. Don't let the devil ever, ever, ever get in your way. You can cry out to God. I don't care if you're a rotten, lousy backslider, turned your back on God like that prodigal son. But God, hallelujah, heard him while he was in the field with the pigs. He heard him and said, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And he heard him. He heard him. He heard him. One of my favorite stories is the story of Danny somebody, Vaccaro. New York City. Stevie, he was a drunk addict, well known. He did the hair of many models. The Ford Model Agency hired him to do the hair of their models. First he got drunk, then he got high. Then he became a servant to cocaine. There was one model at the Ford Agency that kept telling him, Danny, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, he'll fix you, he'll save you. Danny never believed her. But you know, when you become an addict, you don't have any friends. Your friends forsake you. Sometimes your family has to leave you because you're such a very, very poor influence on the rest of them. And you don't have anybody. And pretty soon Danny didn't have much money anymore. Nobody came to get the haircut by him anymore. And now he's out. Now he went making $2,000 or $3,000 a day. Now he's living on the streets of New York, begging. Normally he would weigh 165, 170 pounds. I wish I still did. He was at 100 pounds and losing weight. He couldn't hold food down. All he did was take drugs. He fainted on the streets. He fainted. Somebody picked him up and dragged him by his shoulders, and dragged him backwards to a door of a hospital and laid him there on the sidewalk. Just laid him there. All the while, the demons are screaming in his head, kill yourself, you're useless, you're no good. And they would not stop. Kill yourself, there's no reason to live anymore. Kill yourself. According to his testimony, he says it was non-stop. All of his waking hours, these things were in his brain. They took him in the hospital. He's laying in the hospital bed, and he wakes up in the hospital. And he's on, I don't know what floor, it's a multi-floor hospital, but he's on, let's say, the third floor, and there was a window there. And the voices say, open the window, jump out, and end it. Just be done with it. And he said, that was my intention. As soon as the nurse left, I was going to get out of that hospital bed, and I would jump out that window to end all these misery and to shut the voices up in my head. Then he remembered this lady who told him, listen, Danny, if you call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. He said, what do I have to lose? I'm a nothing. I'm sick. I'm sick to death. And he said in that hospital room, he said, all right, I call upon the name of Jesus. It was not dramatic. He said something dramatic did happen, though. The second I said, Jesus, I call upon your name, the voices shut up. He could think for the first time in years, these voices were gone. He said, these voices are gone. So he said, I'm going to do it again. Lord, I call upon the name of Jesus. And he said, something started to take place inside of me. Hallelujah. The Lord delivered him from drugs, healed his body. 3 days, he walked out of that hospital. Hallelujah. He went to the family, this model and her husband, took him in and began to disciple him. Pastor Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle gave him a job. Hallelujah. Danny served the Lord all the days of his life. It doesn't matter where you start. It's a matter when you call upon him, when you pray. We got to be a praying people. Chris Clark always tells he says the difference between the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. The Charismatics are known for their worship, and Pentecostals were known for their prayer. Prayer comes before worship, honey. I want to be a praying people, because God's ear is open to the righteous. Hallelujah. Hey! That's why I'm never hopeless. That's why I'm never helpless, because God's ear is open to our prayers. All right. Luke chapter 18. I mentioned this morning. And I feel a burden here tonight. And the burden is for our unsaved prodigals, not just prodigals, those of our family members that have never been saved. They've rejected you every time you've brought it up. And they said, that's okay for you, honey, like you're some kind of simpleton. Oh, that's okay. I don't need your Jesus. I'm smarter than that. I know more about the world than you do. It's good for you. Once again, it's often a condescending thing. That, yeah, you're weak, so you needed Jesus. I'm talking about those rebels in your family. We've talked often about it. How can people that are raised in the same household go different directions? How can one say, you know, mom and dad is good to us, they raised us right, and we're going to stick with Jesus? And others, raised by the same family, they read the same family Bible, they pray in the same family prayers, go the other way. So I want to do my own thing. I don't know. I don't have an answer. Every man and woman is responsible for their own life. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. We'll get to this on Wednesday nights too here. But he being Jesus, he spake a parable unto them to this end. The parable is explained before. Usually he has to explain the parable afterward. But here, before the parable is told, it is explained. The purpose of this parable is what? Then men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. Jesus' idea for you and me is to pray and not give up. We talk about it in the men's meeting. Why? Because the idea and the law of the universe of the seed time and harvest. An answered prayer is merely the harvest of an answered prayer is the harvest of the seed prayer that was prayed before God. Listen, the Lord has a hard time answering unprayed prayers. And Jesus said, Scott, I want you to always pray and don't give up. Pray and don't give up. Don't raise your hand. Anybody think you married the wrong person? What was wrong? No, I know you didn't, Deb. I know that. What did I get myself into? He or she wasn't like this when we were young. And here we are now. And oh boy. And the neighbor's wife is looking pretty nice. Friend, pray. Pray. Those thoughts are not from God. For what God has put together, let not man put asunder. Pray. You say, Pastor, then all I'd be doing is praying. I don't want to ramble tonight, but I'm old enough to ramble. If you're not praying, friends, what the devil loves to do in marriages is make the husband hate the wife and the wife hate the husband. If you don't pray, because nobody's perfect. I never thought when I was young, that my wife would complain about how I chew food. We went went out to eat many times before we were married. She never complained once. Suddenly we're sitting there together eating. She said, quit smacking your lips. I go, it wasn't intentional. I'm just eating. I never thought before I was married my wife would complain about me scraping the bottom of a bowl with my spoon. I do that, especially with ice creams involved. You don't let anything go to waste. It's not making a big screeching thing. It's not like nails on a chalkboard. It's just a little squeak, squeak. She's over there, what's wrong? You're full. And listen, if you're not praying, you're going to say, I'll tell you what I can do with this bowl. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. If you hate your husband or wife, you're probably not in church on Sunday night, but you pray for them. Do not pray for their fixing. Go for, oh God, please don't let Scott screech his spoon against that. Oh God, please let him keep his mouth shut while he's chewing. I don't have that big a mouth, all right? No, you pray, God bless them. Pour your favor out upon them. Do all the good that you can do for my husband or my wife. Lord, be so good to them they can't stand it. And then, have the audacity to begin to thank God for bringing that one into your life. You'll start loving each other again. Hallelujah. You'll still yell at them for screeching the bowl, but you'll love each other while you're doing it. This parable, this teaching from Jesus is that we would always pray and not give up. The devil is the exact opposite. If he can't stop you from praying, he'll want you to give up. And we must be bold and say, no, I'm going to continue to pray. What does it look like? Doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to give up. Most of winning is because somebody doesn't give up. Victory comes when you don't give up. That's how we get victory. You just don't give in. You don't give up. You keep going. One pastor, he had pastored a church for like 50 years. He said, Pastor, how did one congregation put up with you? And he said, listen, this is my secret for staying in the same church for so long. I outlasted the people that didn't like me. I just outlasted them. And I got a warning for you. I'm pretty healthy. I plan on outlasting those that don't like me. Don't give up. Here's the teaching, and then we'll pray. There was a city, a judge, which feared not God, nearly regarded man. Oh, he must be from the United States. So he didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what really God thought either. I'm going to just do my job. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. We don't know the details of the situation, whether her husband had owed money or something like that. But she had somebody that was against her. And she did not have the ability to make things right. So she asked the judge to help her. And he would not. He said, no. He just said no. For a while. But after, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, she keeps troubling me. She kept coming. No, I can't help you. Okay, the next day, I need you to help me. No, go away. The next day, I need your help, Judge. Listen, I told you before, no, go away. Finally said, ooh, she's outlasting me. And so he says, she's troubling me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Trust me, she had already wearied him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, those things that are wrong, and make them right? Will he not do this? Who's talking here? Who's talking? Is it red letter in yours? Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that though he bear long with them, though it seems he is not operating on their behalf, it may seem, because I don't see it, it might seem like he is waiting for something. That's what it might seem like. But Jesus says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will hear your prayer. He will see your situation. He will speak to you. He will come to your aid to help you through this. Then he says a very unnerving thing. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he was already there. So what's he talking about when the Son of Man cometh? When he comes again, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find somebody that still prays? Will he find a church that knows how to pray? Will he find a church that has a prayer chain that majors in prayer and not gossip? Can he find a church that will just come before the Lord and not judge people, but just come before the Lord on their behalf and intercede on their... Can he find somebody that has not tried to replace prayer with music and lights and all the nonsense? Can he find people that still believe in prayer? He's looking. He's waiting. And he says, call upon me and I'll hear you. Call upon me, and I will answer. You and I can call upon him. The battle might be fierce. It might go on for far longer than we want it to go on. You keep calling on him, and he will come to your rescue, even if you think it's too late. He will come to your rescue. He knows the situation intimately. He knows the beginning from the ending. He knows. And he wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you that we know that he knows. And he's going to take care of it. That he, in old Christian WDCX radio station in Western New York, they went off the air, I don't know, about 11 o'clock at night. And their theme song, he never sleeps, he never slumps. I remember going to sleep to that song many, many nights. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He knows, and he will hear and respond to your prayer. Somebody help me that's smarter with history than I am. Does anybody know how many years we've had this list? 10 years? At least 10 years. There's original names on here. Some have come and gone. We got lists of the names. We pray for these. We pray for these. You say, I say, and early on, I got all full of the Holy Ghost, and I said, God, I don't want to lose not one of these. I want every last one of them. And then I thought about it, like, wait a minute, maybe I'm too aggressive. No, maybe not. Let's ask God for big things. Pam, let's ask God for Kenneth Mills. Where is Pam here tonight? I thought I saw her. No.
All right. I'll pick somebody else up. Carissa. For Stephanie.
For Jasmine. Humpy.
For Gabby. Ron. You bombed Gardner's Bend. You're a mess. Russ and Tanya, you got a whole family full. All of you here.
Pray and don't faint. I don't know what it'll take. I don't know what it'll take. But He knows. And when we pray, we encourage the Lord. I said, when we pray, we encourage the Lord to keep doing His work. Don't give up. Don't give up. Help me, Jesus, not to be too long-winded. You remember when those faithless people who ate manna, for 2.5 years they ate manna and quail, they didn't hunt them, they just showed up. They didn't have to plan or sow up, preach on it, all right? These same people stood on the edge of the Jordan River and said, oh, God can't help us. There's too many giants, too many walls. We don't want to know. We're too afraid. The God of the wilderness can't be God of Canaan land. I don't know. And God said, I'm done with you. I'm going to kill you. You do not want to anger God. He said, Moses will kill him and I'm going to start over with you. That's what he said. Most preachers in 2025 said, oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that you've chosen me. Moses did say that. He said, God, this is your reputation here. If you kill these people are known as your people. God said, all right, I'll kill them slowly. 40 years. But they're not going in because of their faithlessness, all right? God still cares when we intercede. Moses interceded more than one time for those rebellious people. He interceded. And folks, sometimes we need to intercede with God with these people. I don't know where His line is. I do not know where the line is. Like He says, oh, okay, you don't want to serve me. Okay, you go ahead and give you over to a reprobate mind. I don't know where that line is, but we keep it active by our prayers. That's why I believe with all my heart that dad in the prodigal son story prayed every day for his son to turn around. And we must be convinced that God hears our prayers and we must not give up. I don't know if you've ever given up. Have you given up before? I'll be honest with you, I certainly have. There are some people I quit praying for. It's like I pray and pray and pray and they are so anti-God. They're going down such a wrong path. And secretly, I'm sorry, I'm being transparent here. It's like, you want to go to hell, go to hell. You want to be stupid like that? Well, okay. Now, the Lord does say, don't waste your time preaching to those people all the time. Right? Move on. But He did say, stop praying. You continue to pray. And everybody needs somebody to love them enough to pray for them. I've seen the hardest people that I ever known when they were in need of prayer. And when I said, would you let me pray for you? Those words are almost, they're incredible. When you say, would you let me pray for you? And they choke out, yes. Big, burly men. Tears begin to weep because somebody loved them enough to pray for them. We've got to have the love of God to be faithful in praying. I said we need the love of God because my natural love only goes so far. It goes further. Tonight, come back, Tim, please. Tonight, We're going to present, and others that aren't even out on this list, we're going to present them before the Lord. And we're going to pray again. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord is stirring something. I really feel like He's stirring, bringing people back to where they belong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we just gather up here? Each one grab, if I have helpers here, to grab some of these. This is a rare thing for a whole family, a whole clan to be all saved and ready for the return of Jesus. Very rare thing. Most of us have folks that need to come home. Anybody here got children that need to come home? You got children that are not serving the Lord. Anybody got them? Maybe you didn't hear me. Does anybody here have children that need to come to Jesus? They're not serving Jesus. You have family members that are not serving Jesus. That if Jesus would return, they wouldn't go. And it breaks the heart. And I think the devil would have us rather complain about them than pray for them. All across this room, begin to lift those names that are in front of you in your list. Begin to lift them to the Lord. Don't be afraid to pray out loud. Just go ahead. You lift those names. Say those names out loud. Father, Paul, saved to the uttermost.